The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Under my executive order to lower prescription drug prices, which I think is the single biggest thing we've ever done that nobody writes about because you're fake news. So we're paying, as an example, for the, let's call it the fat drug, F-A-T, for fat people. Anybody use it at the table? Don't ask.
Globally, more than 1 billion people are living with obesity. And that number is expected to double by 2030.
This is Ozempic. It's a drug approved by the FDA to manage type 2 diabetes. Maybe you've heard the jingle. Or maybe you've seen Ozempic in the news recently for another reason.
Weight loss.
Easy weight loss.
Miracle diet drug, miracle weight loss drug.
And it's true. Ozempic was designed to help people manage their blood sugar. But it's also proven to help people lose weight.
Oh, this is an easy weight loss solution.
Now that Ozempic's notoriety helped semaglutide go mainstream, it and drugs like it will only become more commonly prescribed for weight management.
Anyone diabetic or not, looking to quickly drop a few kilos or more, join the race to get hold of Ozempic.
Now, for years, the standard medical advice to treat obesity was to eat less and exercise more. But new drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy have become globally recognized brands because they offer an alternative and, for many, an easier way to lose weight. Now, the World Health Organization is endorsing those drugs referred to as GLP-1 therapies as effective treatments for obesity.
And when Hollywood's most glamorous started showing off their slimmed-down selves, the drug gained even more buzz.
Hollywood's hottest weight loss secret isn't just changing bodies, it's transforming faces, and not always in the way, you know, stars had hoped. The buzzword sweeping social media and gossip pages is Ozempic face, which is a side effect of the blockbuster diabetes turned weight loss, you know, medication Ozempic. Leaked before and after photos of major celebrities paint a very fascinating, some would say shocking, portrait of this new beauty phenomenon. As A-listers chase rapid weight loss only to be shocked by gaunt cheeks, hollow eyes, and rapidly aging skin, let's dive straight into the red carpet of transformation and see who's got fans doing double takes. Ozempic was created to manage type 2 diabetes, but with its ability to suppress appetite and trigger dramatic weight loss, Hollywood quickly jumped on board, not for blood sugar, but for size zero gowns and chiseled jawlines. However, experts warn that losing weight too quickly strips the face of volume. The most noticeable symptoms, well, sunken cheeks, sagging skin, pronounced wrinkles, essentially faces just look older, thinner, and sometimes even unrecognizable.
You don't know whether to laugh or cry. I mean, this perfectly illustrates everything that's wrong with our society. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Thanks to Sam Livingston for subbing in on the program yesterday. You can get to the live show at our website, thetrumpet.com, or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. Lots and lots to get to on today's show, including the story you saw there in the cold open. Also, there's a new BBC documentary out that's trashing the royal family. And some would say, over in Britain, some would say they're not trashing them enough. If the BBC isn't deceptively splicing a speech from Donald Trump, well, you can rely on them to also be working hard at work over there, trashing the royal family. It's exactly as my father said that it would be in the New Throne of David book. Hopefully I'll have time to get to that. There's another one, a pretty strong message coming from Not the Bee, which is typically a website looking for funny stories, but it's a more serious opinion piece. Don't be fooled by the vibe shift Our culture still serves the same old gods. It's basically making the point that, you know, even with MAGA's influence, even with a new administration, there's no repentance. I mean, we're just bogged down in the same old sins. I mean, look at the cold open. We're sick. We're sick. I didn't even know. I've tried not to read about Ozempic. I didn't even know it was a diabetes drug. And then people are taking it, not for diabetes, but to lose weight. Listen to the side effects. It's unbelievable. I mean, who wants to have aging skin or sunken eyes? Who wants to have gaunt cheeks? Evidently, a lot of people in Hollywood. And notice, too, one of the spiels said, it's a miracle. A miracle. How about that? You miraculously lose weight. And you also heard the word easy. It's like I say, it perfectly illustrates what's wrong with us. Take the easy path. Take the miracle drug. Don't do the work. Don't build character. Don't obey health laws. Just pop the pill. Or in this case, I guess they stab their belly. Who does this? A lot of people. We're so used to jabs now. I think I saw a couple celebrities that were, this was like a clip from 20 years ago. And they were really criticized at the time because they were against all these vaccinations. They're just adding new ones for our children every year. That seems like an eternity ago. Now we're just all on board. I mean, get the jab, get the booster, get another booster, get several boosters. And now start stabbing your belly. And then the miracle sets in. And you look at some of these, they're almost unrecognizable. This article at Law and Liberty, at Helen Andrews, it says, has a point about wokeness and women. She says, together, they have done a lot of damage to American institutions. This guy adds to that, saying, we've elevated the kinds of women, and it bears mentioning the kinds of men, too, who are chronological adults, yet they think and they behave like toddlers. Profoundly unreasonable, proudly irrational, and occasionally hysterical. We see this all over the place. Full-grown adults just behaving like little children. It's straight out of the pages of Isaiah the prophet. Straight out of Isaiah 3. This article says, the problem Andrews identifies then is not feminization, it's infantilization. We're behaving like infants, like babies. There are now far too many overgrown children, both male and female, in positions of political and cultural power. This immaturity is affecting and infecting nearly all of our political and cultural institutions, rendering Andrew's fear of a future in which rationality is superseded by irrationality entirely legitimate, and not by the left's hand alone. It's across the board. It's on both sides. Irrational people, deranged thinking. And of course, when you add to this what we've been exposing on this show quite often, the real spirit world, I mean, this is just easy pickings for the devil. Influencing little irrational infants, children. That shows you what happens when you lose your foundation spiritually. The Bible talks about a foundation of repentance or change, which involves overcoming our carnal nature, our evil nature, and those carnal impulses. Romans 8 talks about, you know, setting your mind on the things above. Let me just read that. It's not in my notes. Romans chapter 8. I'll take you to the Holy Spirit chapter, what God through Paul inspired him to say about being led by the Spirit. That's what makes you a child of God. You've got to follow the Spirit's lead. The Spirit is God's power. God's Spirit is how Mary became pregnant with Jesus Christ. It was miraculous. You want to talk about a real miracle? not junk you put into your body. Let's talk about God's Holy Spirit. It's not easy. Jesus himself said it's the straight and narrow way. It's difficult building character. It's often difficult to even keep the commandments in general. Jesus said that in Matthew 19. He told the young man, look, sell all that you have and follow me. Follow my example. He couldn't do it. And Christ said, with men, it's impossible to do it. But with God, all things are possible. We need God's miraculous power working in our lives, our minds, so that we can build holy, righteous, perfect character. That's what the Christian way of life is all about. And we're so far removed from it, even in the world of Christianity, sad to say. So much deception all over the place. Verse 5 of Romans 8, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We're just so immersed in fleshly pulls. I mean, and then some miracle drug comes along, and you can shed pounds quickly and also distort your face and your physical appearance and age prematurely. Our students would tell you how often I joke about these commercials. You hear on the radio or on TV, all these miracle drugs. And then they get to the side effects at the end where the voice really hurries. I mean, it goes through them quickly. You know, bleeding this or suicidal thoughts or just crazy things. That's not a miracle drug. That's a curse. And it's the same with this Ozempic and others like it. And we can laugh and joke about it, you know, that we're fat and we're unhealthy and this drug will do this and we'll lower subscription prices or prescription prices, I guess. But we're getting sicker. I mean, this, by the way, this also identifies who Israel is. In this end time, you could go through the prophecies of old and see what God says we're going to be plagued with. I'll read you a verse to that end in just a second. What are our minds set on? Verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then you get to verse 7, the memory verse. The carnal mind is hostile against God. That's what we're seeing. Just a built-in hostility toward God, his law, his government, his family. That's where the stability is. That's where the foundation is. You see that foundation in God's church. You read about it in the New Throne of David and other books that we've produced. Mr. Armstrong has produced. And yet if you look at this world, if you look at the royal family in Britain, you see a total breakdown. Isaiah 3, verse 4, and I will give children. And notice verse or chapter 1, maybe if I have time I'll get over there. But this is addressed to Israel. And notice what it says about Israel. It's for the last days. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. That's exactly what this Law and Liberty article is saying. We're just a bunch of infants. Now, we've been saying it for decades. It's in our literature. Because we understand this is a prophecy, and we know who Israel is. If you don't know that, I mean, that's basics with respect to Bible prophecy. You need the United States and Britain in prophecy so that you can know. And the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. This isn't talking about, you know, actual three-year-olds running society. It's talking about adults behaving like 3- and 4-year-olds. Verse 12 says, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. It says, and my people, they which lead you, cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. I mean, these are the, you saw them in the cold open. These are the elites. These are the wealthy millionaires. And they're killing themselves just for a few short-term benefits, going the easy way. Isn't that human nature? Of course it is. My father in No Freedom Without Law, after quoting from Isaiah 3, he says, all the leaders are like little children in their reasoning. They rule like babes. Children are guided solely by emotions, unless they are guided by a wise adult. But here in Isaiah, the children rule, guided mainly by their emotions. It says, and children are naturally lawless. And then my father says, when did this come out? I think it was 1999. This book's like 25 years old. My father says, our leaders have never grown up emotionally. We just haven't grown up spiritually, emotionally. Physically we do, but then look at what we're doing. Look at how we're reasoning. It's not even the ones just consuming the drug. I mean, there's plenty of adults that work on making it, and then the distribution, and then the money, and then you've got the Trump administration trying to lower those costs. What a system. This is not a miracle. Far from it. It's hurting us. And then you step back and look at why so many of us are obese. And a lot of that, besides the lack of will, besides the lack of character on our part, the ones consuming food, it's also because of all the drugs that they put in food. It's also because of what passes for food in the grocery market or at restaurants. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, Paul says, I put away childish things. Notice he says there, I put away the childish reasoning. You have to put it away. You have to grow up. And how do you do that? Well, it gets back to this foundation that is the Word of God. You look at the Proverbs, there's one that says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And then when he's older, he won't depart from it. He'll be in the established habit of living the right way, of reasoning and thinking the right way. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I acted like a child. But those days are over, Paul said. God educated him. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 14, be not children in understanding. However, in malice, be you as children. Be like an obedient child when it comes to avoiding evil. You don't want to get in trouble. You don't want to get spanked by your father. You don't want to be corrected in love for going the wrong way. You want to obey the Father. You want to please the Father. You love the Father because the Father first loved us. 1 John 4. But when it comes to understanding, be wise. Be discerning. Have a deep understanding of God's truth. And then the truth will be so obvious. Like I say, when I first watched that, I shouldn't have, but I'm just sitting there shaking my head laughing. How could this be? How could we be so foolish? Well, it's not just with respect to this one drug, but as I say, it illustrates what's wrong with us. That verse in Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. But Jeshurun, it's just a term for Israel. Who is Israel today? As I say, so much of the news that we bring out on this program, it shows who we are in prophecy. It says, Israel waxed fat and kicked, it says, and you are waxing fat, you are grown thick, you are covered with fatness. I mean, you could apply this in two different ways. Literally, waxing fat. But the main point God's getting at here is we've become thick in our reasoning. We've become foolish. We've become stupid or dumb. It's a self-inflicted wound. People won't open up the Bible and look into the pages of the Bible for guidance, for direction, for the laws that God put there so that we could be happy and healthy and live productive lives and do hard things and learn to push ourselves. But no, we always want it easy, don't we? We want the easy road. We want the quick fix. We want the miracle drug. The Ozempic body, this is from the New York Post, the Ozempic body trend is pushing celebrity role models to shrink before our eyes. But it's not shaming to call it what it is. Shocking. I mean, we're not shaming them. This is shocking. This is a sickness. This is not going to turn out well in the end. And now others are getting on board with it. They see their favorite celebrity and they're saying, hey, give me the pill. And then you have the Trump administration helping them. Yeah, we're going to make the cost lower so that you can pop the pill. Actually, it's the needle. I got to remember that. You stab your belly, get the jab. When you get hungry, get the jab. I mean, what kind of a satanic fad is this? Who would support this? The answer is a lot of people. Just make it legal. You know, you get the whoever, FDA or whatever the agency is that says, yeah, this is now perfectly fine to take. And not if you have diabetes too, or type 2 diabetes, if you want to shed a few pounds. It's not even for obesity. It says here, Ozempic body is the new heroin chic in the world of celebrity. And the fact that it's trickling down to the masses should concern everyone. Hollywood has shrunk before our eyes, with stars like Erivo and Grandi appearing thinner than ever in recent red carpet images. LaToya Jackson showing off her painfully slim figure on social media, and celebs including Amy Schumer and Meghan Trainor displaying their significant weight loss, revealing jutting collarbones and hollowed cheeks. Sad. It's sad. I mean, we glorify celebrities. We glorify youth. We glorify beauty. And as we get older, we act younger and younger and younger. That's what your Bible says. This article says, and it feels time to say the quiet part out loud. The thinness is alarming and it could have catastrophic consequences for how younger generations view their bodies and look after their health. It's scary to think about, but I do think being constantly exposed to these images as a teenager could have fanned the sparks of my young self-loathing, which included skipping the occasional meal in the name of thinness, into a full-on disordered eating flame. Yeah, back in the day, I mean, just anorexia, you know, throw up your food. That was a fad. Bulimia. Now all these drugs, weight loss drugs. And then you get into the foods. I mean, I could go on for hours. My wife teaches nutrition here at the college. We could go on and on and on. In fact, we give wise, practical, understanding, wisdom in our literature, trumpet.com, our Royal Vision magazine, booklets. There's a list in the Seven Laws of Radiant Health booklet. Here are the laws. Eat healthy food and drink water. What was the statement in that cold open? It used to be that you would eat less and exercise more if you wanted to fight obesity, but not now. What? So eating less and exercising more is suddenly unnecessary? Eat healthy food and drink water. That's number one. Number two, be hygienic. Number three, get enough sunshine and fresh air. Number four, exercise. Number five, get enough sleep and rest. Number six, avoid bodily injury. Number seven, have a positive mental attitude. That right there used to be common sense. But we're so educated. We are so advanced. We have become so sophisticated in our reasoning that that's no longer common sense. It's no longer necessary. April 2022 at the Trumpet. It says, you want to be healthy? Practice nutritional math. The Trumpet says there's an ocean of health information out there, but you can boil it all down to simple math. Add natural, healthy habits and subtract unnatural, harmful habits. But see, now that's difficult to do. That takes building some character. You have to work to build good habits into your routine, into your day. Here's another one. Two keys to healthful eating. This is by Joel Hilliker. Eat whole foods as much as possible. Eat foods that God created you to eat the way he created them. For example, God made apples. An apple is a wonderful food. Ingredients list. Apple. There you go. Mr. Armstrong said this. Eat only those natural foods that will spoil and eat them before they do. Common sense, yes? One final one. March 2022, Royal Vision. Many people know they should take better care of themselves to improve their diet, curb unhealthy cravings, exercise more, sleep better. The challenge is less knowing the laws of health than keeping them. The problem is usually motivation. The fact that we know what is good but do not do it shows this is a battle against human nature. There you go. That's what Romans 8 is talking about. We have to battle. I mean, there's a profound concept here, a principle that applies to much more than just healthful living. I mean, God wants that too. It says that in 3 John, you know, beloved, above all, I want you to be prosperous and healthy. God wants us to be in top condition, physically and spiritually. As I say, this principle, it runs right through our lives as Christians, followers of Christ. Jesus was in perfect health, physically and spiritually. He's the example. But we don't want to, you heard it in the cold open. If there's a drug that makes it easy, just call it miraculous. Call it a miracle from God. Look at the miracle label that we put on the worst of things. You can call it miraculous if you want. That doesn't make it a miracle. You can call it the truth, and it may be an absolute lie. It shows you why we need the right foundation. This article from Not the Bee. Don't be fooled by the vibe shift. Just because there's a new vibe, it doesn't mean there's sincere repentance. It says, if you listen to certain commentators, you might think America is in the middle of a long-awaited collective return to sanity. With Trump's re-election and the public exhaustion over ideological gender experiments, many on the right have been celebrating a vibe shift as the cultural pendulum swings back toward common sense. Is that true? Is that happening? We've talked a lot. It's in the latest Trumpet magazine. This new religious vibe. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. The article mentions the story that was right here in Oklahoma, I think OU, where this gal turned in a paper on some kind of a gender study and gave the Bible instruction on it, and ended up getting a zero, an F. That's not going to fly on university campuses, not even here in Oklahoma. It says here, vibe shifts aren't repentance. Well, there's the word repentance. Finally, just because you got a good vibe doesn't mean there's deep repentance. There are intermissions, it says. Cultures don't drift toward biblical fidelity on their own. Both reason and experience tells us that the history of the world proves the exact opposite. This OU scandal is further evidence of a centuries-old reality. The moment Christian conviction touches the nerve of the reigning spirit of the age, the facade cracks. Beneath the supposed swing back to reason, the same old gods still demand sacrifice. Don't be fooled, the article says. The repentance is not there. It's the same old, same old. Paul said in Hebrews 6 and verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. You can read the previous chapter where Paul says, look, you should be farther along, but you're regressing. That's because of human nature. If we're not actively engaged in going forward with Christ, we're going to be going backwards, whether it's individually or collectively. You've got to fight. I mean, this is, as the article says, it's a centuries-old reality. It says cultures don't drift toward biblical fidelity, or we don't drift toward God on our own. It's the opposite. We drift away from Him naturally because of the God of this world. So we've got to actively, energetically, zealously pursue after God's way of life. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek, seek. That means make a diligent investigation or seek diligently after God, His kingdom, and His righteousness. The Bereans searched the scriptures daily. They studied their Bibles daily to prove what Paul was out there preaching to them. 2 Timothy 2:15 says you've got to be a good workman. I think it's 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy 4:8 says that bodily exercise, there's benefit to it. Now, it's shorter term because you've got to keep it going, and Paul's making the point that the spiritual exercise is most important, but still, in the same passage, you see about bodily exercise. This is basic. This is common sense. It should be, because it's grounded in the Bible. The Apostle Paul described, well, this article quotes from Romans 1 and verse 25. That's amazing. The word repentance is in there. It cites Romans 1, showing that we're just naturally drifting away from God, getting into reprobate thinking or worthless reasoning. Again, that's Romans 1. That's New Testament. It says that exchange didn't get reversed just because Donald Trump got elected president. We still live in a culture discipled by follow your heart theology. We still inhabit institutions that believe feelings create reality. We remain citizens of a society where the gospel of affirmation eclipses the authority of God's word. So any vibe shift we experience is more like a breeze. The worldview underneath is bedrock. This is a pretty good piece, a pretty good article at Not the Bee, you know, a website that looks for funny stories. Well, they got it especially right this time. And good for them. Christians must not mistake cultural fatigue for cultural repentance. You've got to lay, as Paul said, the foundation is repentance. And he's telling the brethren, the Hebrews, look, we shouldn't have to return to this because it's so obvious. It's so foundational. It applies to everything, every day. You've got to put away worldliness. You've got to bury the old man. What was it? John the Baptist and then Jesus Christ after him. What was the first thing they went out there preaching? Repentance. Repentance toward God. The Father. It says here, the public may be tired of the excesses of gender ideology. They may be annoyed with activists. They may be rolling their eyes at the latest list of invented pronouns. But annoyance is not repentance. Certainly not. Irritation with one form of insanity does not mean the culture has returned to truth. More often, it simply seeks a new form of insanity that feels more socially acceptable. Well, you got a little dose of societal insanity at the top of the show. Sickness, disease, cancer. It's all around, mentally, spiritually, physically. We're making ourselves sick. In the case of the miracle drug, it's a physical sickness. There's probably some mental illness to it as well. But people are flocking to it. And it's shocking, says the New York Post. But is a government agency or is the MAGA movement going to put an end to this madness, this nonsense, this sickness? No, actually, let's try to make it cheaper, more affordable, so more people can pop the pill, or excuse me, stab the belly. This story out of the UK, again, sickness. Here comes the BBC to tell you, yeah, the royal family is sick, and is it even necessary? That's sickness. It says here, is the monarchy a giant Ponzi scheme? Are the monarchy personally repellent? These are some highlights from a Guardian piece that is reviewing the three-part series. Why should the king's opinions hold sway when nobody voted for him? Well, we've got to have a say. I mean, we're here to promote democracy. We've got to vote. They didn't always say this or think this way toward the British monarchy. You go back a few centuries, you go back a century. Can you imagine, like during, let's pick an era, the Victorian age. Can you imagine the British people or the state-funded media outlet trashing the royal family and getting away with it? Now it's, hey, it's common. We didn't vote for him. Why is he so filthy rich? What's the monarchy for? Here the Guardian says. It's a, well, let me just play you this. This is from David Dimbleby on what's it for, clip 11.
I thought it was a really interesting question, what is it for? Because I think many people see them as these figureheads in big palaces and fancy clothes and lots of pomp and circumstance. Yeah. And it feels so away from our everyday lives.
Yes.
So separate, as if they've nothing to do with this.
And of course, part of it is that it's meant to be like that.
Yeah.
Because it's meant to imbue us with a kind of glamour and remembering our history and enjoying the ceremonial, which people do.
This Guardian piece says here, it's a, the opening episode cleaves closest to the titular question, what's the monarchy for? Parts two and three are more like, is the monarchy a giant Ponzi scheme? And are the monarchy personally repellent? There's actually comments coming underneath the show and some of these articles, as I said at the start, suggesting that they didn't trash them hard enough. It's unbelievable. This is a clip 12.
I mean, I wouldn't wish it on anybody being a member of the royal family. I mean, I think I have a lot of sympathy for Harry, who just said, I can't be doing with all this, and left.
Sympathy for Harry, the royal that trashed the royal family. Yeah, he's to be praised. He and his wife, who hated the royal family, and now they've got their Netflix show. So that they can trash the royal. Everybody's getting in on it. Why not? I mean, it's the popular thing to do. We didn't vote for any of these people. So they get out. In the case of Harry, anyway. And the rest, well, they're having to withstand this withering criticism. And as I've said, I mean, it's all laid out there in the new throne of David book. I can give you a few quotes. This is the book that came out in 2017 or 2018. My father says, when God gave the revelation about the new stone, the royal family of Britain was displaced as the royal family of David's throne. That was a signal of terrible things to come upon Britain, as well as a sharp decline of America and Judah. It's all happening. As I say, so many of these events, it proves who we are. Who Israel is in Bible prophecy. Who our nations are in this end time. A signal of terrible things to come for our nations. He says, it was also an indication that we would see a rapid decline in Britain's royal family. That's my father in the New Throne of David book. This is, you can play the next two, clip 13 and 14 together.
I mean, if the monarch is to work, it obviously has to be very responsive to the public mood. They live in absolute luxury. I agree that. You know, they have huge wealth. They have huge privileges. They only pay tax voluntarily. They own estates that they take the profit from. They can avoid certain laws. They're not, you know, the Race Relations Act doesn't apply to the royal family. Equality of Opportunity Act doesn't apply. I mean, there are all kinds of privileges that keep them apart. They can even look at laws if they think they may affect their private interests and suggest changes. I mean, it's an extraordinary position. And I'm just exploring all those things and asking, really, whether this is still the kind of monarchy we want, or whether, as William said, change is on the agenda and it's going to have to change to adapt to a more skeptical generation.
There's an elderly gentleman, an older man, with the reasoning of a child, trashing the royal family. But again, we're not surprised. We're not surprised by this at all. My father, in the book, The New Throne of David, he talks about this nasty interview that Prince Harry had with Newsweek. And he basically said things that man right there is saying. My father says, "We're involved in modernizing the British monarchy." Actually, that's a quote from Prince Harry. "The royals are breaking with many past traditions. They're championing popular social causes, trying to relate to the public by showing that they're just ordinary people." You see, a lot of this is their own fault, the royal family. They became woke. And now the wokesters in the country are saying, "What? Listen, why do you have a palace and I don't?" They're working to boost their popularity by rubbing shoulders with immoral celebrities and in other ways that degrade the throne. They're also undermining biblical teachings. You undermine the Bible, you degrade the throne, and then when the three-part series from the BBC, funded by British taxpayers, comes along saying, you know, why do we need the royal family? Well, you got to take some of the blame yourself. Look at, just to pick out a theme for so many of these stories, look at what we're doing to ourselves because of how hostile we are to the foundation of repentance. Paul calls it a foundational principle, a foundational pillar. It's repentance toward God. Romans 2 and verse 4. It says, "When William and Harry's mother, Lady Diana, married Prince Charles in 1981, the world was mesmerized. In the Plain Truth magazine, Herbert Armstrong called their spectacular wedding Britain's last gasp of joy and splendor." I mean, could that forecast have been more accurate from 1981, 44 years ago? Mr. Armstrong noted that Britain was a kingdom in decline. He was in Britain at the time, and he privately noted that in the wedding ceremony, references to the wife obeying her husband based on scriptures like Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, and Titus 2 had been removed. Take the Bible out of this ceremony. Well, they did. How'd that work out for you? It did not last. Both Charles and Diana ended up having adulterous affairs. That wedding was the most watched television event in history up to that point. I mean, at the time, it just seemed, I mean, it was a fairy tale. It was like right out of Hollywood. And Hollywood, I mean, they're there to help society, right? To set an example for the rest of us. The wedding was the most watched television event in history. Up to that point, the whole world focused on the fairy tale romance and marriage. And what they got was a clear example of infidelity, immorality, and treachery. Can we really pretend that their example didn't have an effect on British society? Here again, we've got to look at ourselves. We've got to look at our sins. We've got to look to the authority of the Bible. I mean, these weren't even Old Testament scriptures that they blotted out of the ceremony. We're talking about Colossians and Titus and Ephesians. Read Ephesians 5. Just scrub it out of the ceremony and pretend that it's a fairy tale, but it ended in disaster. It ended in treachery. We've got to see the latter end. That's in the Bible too. We've got to have vision. What happens in the end? If you fill your body with chemicals, with drugs, with poisons, there may be a short-term extension of physical life, but it's not going to be quality. You may be able to shed a few pounds quickly, but it's not going to be healthily. How sad to see all of this happen, my father says. Nobody in God's church is delighting in this. This was the throne of God. And this is what it has degenerated into in Britain. And then along comes the BBC. I guess they finished splicing, deceptively cutting the speeches that Donald Trump gives. They got exposed for that. And so now they're on to their new project. Here we go. And I mean, he's there. He's an elderly man. I'm not saying he's elderly, but he's older. He's an older man. And he's talking about just how wise and how discerning, how much understanding he and the BBC have to pose all these questions. It says, the world and many British themselves wonder why Britain has clung to its throne through the generations. The amazing answer is that question can only be understood by God's people. Jesus Christ kept the British throne alive. But you see, in 2017, God established a new throne. And that's why my father said that can only mean it's going to be pretty bad for the British throne and the royal family going forward. Here again, another forecast. Spot on. We were right. Tomorrow's news today. If you're not a subscriber to the Trumpet magazine, I mean, you're really missing out. Just call our 800 number. Ask the operator for a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine. Or if you want to read the New Throne of David book, you can also request that at our website or with the 800 number. I have so much material on the subject of the breakdown in marriage and family. I mean, that relates to all of this as well. Because what looks like a fairy tale at the beginning, well, now look at where we are. It was so easy. I mean, no fault divorce. Let's just make it easy to split apart, to move on with our lives. Let's do it for the children. Let's do it. Let's get involved in an exciting affair, adultery, fornication. Let's glorify those things on the big screen, in music. And now look at where we are. Some of these headlines. Much ado about marriage. Others point out that people don't want to get married. You're happier if you're single. I'll get into some of this maybe tomorrow, but I've got so much, I just don't want to give it only 6-7 minutes. This section, though, with Scott Jennings, he was interviewed just to come back to something totally different, just to see God, his hand in bringing President Trump back. And Jennings points out how much he's having to fight against, or how bad the bitter affliction was, to use the biblical language. And what he's still going up against today. Play clip one.
I think one of the reasons he was elected in the first place and then reelected is because of the immigration crisis in this country. You know, we haven't passed any new laws on immigration, but the border is somehow closed. We now have internal enforcement. What I have learned is that the old administration had policies designed to have the border open and not enforce existing federal law. The only thing Donald Trump has done is say, let's just enforce the law.
Right.
Novel concept for a president, but that's what he's doing.
Let's just enforce the law. When it comes to border security, the laws are already there, as Jennings brings out. Here again, just think of this again. the broad principle of it with respect to a law-abiding society or with respect to a Christian who's overcoming his carnal nature and building character, you've always got to come back to law, upholding the law, administering government. And in this case, I mean, the Trump administration has it right. Play a clip two.
On the world stage, I mean, the biggest thing he inherited was a weak America. Our president was weak. We had weak leadership. We had feckless leadership. We had indecisive leadership in the Oval Office. And now
Afghanistan withdrawal in 2021 went downhill from there.
Of course, of course. And so the world looked at us as a diminishing player. Now they look at us as the world's indispensable superpower once again. And look what happens when the American president is strong. You can solve wars. You can bring people to the table. You can get hostages back, which he's done in all over the country, all over the world, I should say, certainly in the Middle East, out of Russia even. Strong American leadership matters.
Strong leadership matters. But see, again, look at the sins. Consider Isaiah 3. I read the children ruling over us. But you can go to the first couple verses of that same chapter and see where it says God's taken away strong leadership. He made an exception with Donald Trump because the affliction was so bitter. God intervened to save America, but it's temporary because there's no repentance, just like that article says that I read through earlier. There's no foundation of repentance. The vibe doesn't count as repentance, a new vibe. Play clip three.
You know, I know his advisors are happy with the progress they've made. I did talk to one of them during the process of writing the book, and I said, you know, he seems to be doing so many things on a daily basis. And the advisor said, well, you know, he knows he doesn't have much time to save the country. And that's why he's moving so quickly, because he knows how close to the brink we really were.
He's saving the country, and he knows he's on a countdown clock. I just noticed that his book there has to do with a return to common sense. Well, and so, on border security, yes, okay. But then more broadly, look at our sin-drenched society. Look at the sickness, whether it's physical or spiritual. It's all around. Good vibes are not going to pass for repentance. Certainly not in God's eyes. Play the next one.
The beating heart of the Democratic Party right now is this socialist energy, the Mamdani energy, the AOC energy. That's where all the energy is in their party. They held it off in 2020 and in 2016. I don't know if they're going to be able to hold it off anymore. And honestly, look, you know, there's part of me that says, well, I guess that's good for the Republicans, because the more radical they get, the more anti-American they become, the easier it is for Republicans to win. But I don't think it's good for one of our two political parties to be going down this very anti-American, anti-capitalist, anti-free market path. It's antithetical to the founding of the country. It's not good for our political culture for one of our parties to be captured, I think, by this ideology. And
it's a sickness politically. And of course, he's convinced that the other side is completely right and going in the right direction. But really, what he just described there is political sickness in America. And it's not getting better. It's not getting healthier. One final clip, clip five.
And by the way, he's not afraid. How many of us walk around this world and we know what the truth is, but we're afraid? You know, what will happen to us at work? What will happen to us at school? What will happen to us in our social circles? The man fears nothing. Yeah. And when you fear nothing and you show that kind of leadership, it gives confidence to everybody else.
It's a great point. We'll have to build on that at a later time, since I'm about out of time. But if you have the truth, and you have to be unafraid. You have to have courage. You have to go after God's truth. Fill up on God's truth. Live it. Do it. That's why getting into our Bibles, the instruction manual, as Mr. Armstrong used to call it, it's the how-to book how to be prosperous, healthy, both physically and spiritually. It's all based on definite laws, and individually, if we can just apply it to that before we leave, individually, you've got to be a strong leader to follow in those steps of Jesus Christ. I took you a minute over, but I'm not going to charge you for those extra, the bonus 60 seconds. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.